Our next case is 14-1394, Cleveland Metro Bar Association versus Slaby.
Good morning, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. I'm Jennifer Armstrong, and I'm representing the Cleveland Metropolitan Bar Association today. This is a case of a licensed Ohio attorney, Jalal Slaby, who engaged in repeated sexual relations with four separate female clients over a three-year period. Significantly, it was not until after one of those women filed a grievance against him that Mr. Slaby sought treatment for sex addiction to excuse his actions. The Bar Association requested a sentence for Mr. Slaby of an indefinite suspension from the practice of law. The Board of Commissioners on Grievance and Discipline instead recommended a sentence of suspension from practice of law for 2 years with 1 year stayed on conditions. It's our position that the recommendation of the board, if accepted, sends a misleading message to the bar and to the public that sex with clients is tolerated if it was technically consensual, despite the devastating emotional and personal toll on the women, and that an after-the-fact diagnosis of sex addiction, a bogus and unrecognizable diagnosis, becomes a new mitigating factor in the absence of a proof of a recognized mental disability as required by the Ohio Rules of Professional Conduct.
But if we take a lawyer out for 2 years over here, if we take a lawyer out for 2 years, is that really tolerance of what occurred here?
I don't think it is, Your Honor. But I think that the behavior warrants indefinite suspension, not
That's
2 years.
Different from not tolerating it. I guess I'm taking apart some of the words that have been used, that if we were to give something other than an indefinite suspension, that we're tolerating the behavior here. That's the part that I take issue with. So you apparently agree that we wouldn't necessarily be tolerating the behavior. You think we need to do more than
I think there is more that needs to be done. Yes, Your Honor. I mean, this was a pretty egregious case. And the board's recommendation failed to give sufficient weight and consideration to the aggravating factors and gave too much weight to the primary mitigation factor, which was that Mr. Slaby had a mental disability of depression and anxiety, which was not admissible at the hearing as a matter of Ohio law.
Can you elaborate on that?
Certainly. In this case, the only expert identified was a social worker who had examined Mr. Slaby over a three-year period, and she had made two expert reports that diagnosed Mr. Slaby with sex addiction. The third report came out a day before the expert cutoff. And for the first time, this report said that a Dr. James Pallas had diagnosed Mr. Slaby with anxiety and depression. Ms. Risen acknowledged at the hearing that she herself, in the report, did not diagnose him with anxiety and depression. This was purely hearsay. Then at the hearing itself, over our objection, Ms. Risen testified for the first time that she herself diagnosed Mr. Slaby with anxiety and depression.
My understanding of the record is that he did enter into a OLAP contract, underwent treatment for 39 months.
For sex addiction, yes, Your Honor.
Okay, which obviously I think everybody in the room is happy that that happened.
Yes.
But you are contesting the board's recommendation of 2 years with 1 year stayed, and you want instead an indef.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Why?
Because I think that the board downplayed the really devastating effect on the women, and I also think that they relied heavily on the depression and anxiety diagnosis, which, as a matter of law, should never have been before them as a mitigating factor.
Well, I don't want to be insensitive about this, but it's my understanding that all four of the women indicated it was a consensual affair.
That is true, Your Honor.
Is that correct?
That is correct, although even Ms. Risen acknowledged that the relationship between an attorney and his client can never really be absolutely consensual because of the power dynamic.
Although, wasn't the fourth individual, wasn't there some concern about potential criminal activity there? I know that it never went forward, but
You're speaking of LF?
Yes.
Yes. LF had contended that there was a rape involved, that she had been raped.
But it never went forward to prosecution or further than that?
No, there was no indictment. And speaking about these women, these very vulnerable clients, Mr. Sleeby had stipulated to the fact that the clients were vulnerable, that there was multiple offenses and a pattern of misconduct, and that he had a selfish motive. This court recognized in Disciplinary Counsel versus Boer, and we cite this on page 13 of our brief, that the client's reliance on the ability of her counsel in a crisis situation has the effect of putting the lawyer in a position of dominance and the client in a position of dependence and vulnerability. The more vulnerable the client, the heavier is the obligation upon the lawyer to not exploit the situation for his own advantage. And that really rings true here. HW was only 18 years old when Mr. Sleeby became her attorney. She was facing criminal charges. She was scared. The other three women were facing bankruptcy and financial ruin. Mr. Sleeby's own character witness, who was a bankruptcy attorney, testified that bankruptcy is emotional and traumatic, and that frequently you have unsophisticated clients. SM testified that this ruined her life. This was not a one-time offense. It was not a one-time mistake. This is something that occurred over 3 years frequently. And in the case of SM and LF, they actually occurred at the same time. Mr. Sleeby's conduct was flagrant and lewd. He lured his clients in by sending them flirtatious texts.
Counsel, do you disagree with the finding by the board that he has a mental disability and that the mental disability contributed to the activities?
I am not a therapist, Your Honor, so I...
Nor am I.
I would argue that there is no such evidence of that because it was not before the court. We don't have an expert testifying that there was depression and anxiety.
Do the rules of evidence apply to these hearings?
They do, Your Honor. The rules of civil procedure apply to the disciplinary context. This court recognized that in...
That's civil procedure or evidence?
Civil procedure,
not evidence.
Exactly, but Rule 26E, okay. Civil Rule 26E applies in this situation. You have an expert report, and you have to have the nature of the expert report be what is presented at a hearing. You can't sandbag someone. You can't have trial by ambush.
Well,
by
it says respondent's primary therapist and coordinator of his treatment, who was Candace Risen, and you acknowledge Ms. Risen's participation, right?
Correct.
Testified at length concerning his mental state. Risen is eminently qualified, accredited, and licensed social worker who has extensive background and experience in the field of sex therapy and research over many years. She is currently the co-owner of a center for marital and sexual health located in Beechwood. She testified that she saw him in 2011. She assembled a team of professionals on her staff, and she notes a psychiatrist, a psychologist, and Risen's clinical observations were that respondent was significantly depressed and quite anxious.
And that is correct. She did testify to that, Your Honor, at the hearing. She did not testify to that in her expert report. And that's our contention, that there was the trial by ambush and that there was sandbagging.
Wait, counsel. That's why I asked you about the rules of evidence. In this hearing, you're not contesting the credentials of that witness, are you?
We did not contest the credentials at that time, and I'm not doing so now, Your Honor.
Okay, okay. So, and she testified that the 39 months of treatment for this mental illness or disorder, or what do you want to call it, mental disability?
I think, again, if she had, as a matter of equity, she, under the rules of civil procedure, she should have put that in the expert report to allow us an opportunity to cross-examine her at the deposition.
Which goes to the rules of evidence. Is she competent to make the diagnosis? And probably not, correct? Social worker cannot make a diagnosis, can they?
I am not.
Rule of evidence. I'm talking about competence of the witness.
Obviously, the psychiatrist, Dr. Pallas, and that was hearsay evidence in Ms. Risen's expert report.
Dr. Pallas did not testify, correct?
He did not, and the party stipulated that he was not called or functioned as an expert witness.
But did you know of his existence?
We knew of his existence based on this expert report at the 11th hour, where she had said that that Dr. Pallas had diagnosed Mr. Sleeby with anxiety and depression.
And you had the ability to call?
We did, but we did not because he was not identified as an expert.
But as a treating physician, was he not a treating physician?
I believe that...
He assembled a team of professionals. Their clinical observations were such, depression and anxiety. Who gave him the treatment for the 39 months?
Ms. Risen, primarily. It's my understanding that Dr. Pallas prescribed medication. I don't know how frequently Mr. Sleeby saw Dr. Pallas, but I do know that...
He's still a treating physician, then. If he's giving him medication, prescribing medication, he's a treating physician.
Mm-hmm. He did see Ms. Risen, I think, once a month.
Okay.
So, essentially, I mean, that is our argument, that the mitigation factor should not have been considered. Going back to the aggregating factor, I mean, he definitely acted and stipulated that he acted with a selfish motive. I mean, this was done to gratify his own needs. He even made a comment to one of the women that he enjoyed private practice because it allowed him as a sole practitioner to do these sorts of things in his office. I mean, this is not someone that is exhibiting professional conduct.
What are the stipulations if the board's recommendation is accepted? What are the, it's 2 years, 1 year out?
It's 2 years, 1 year with conditions. So essentially, he's suspended.
What are the conditions?
I believe that it's continued attendance at the SLAA meetings.
Which is an OLAP contract?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And is there any monitoring? He says he attends 6 hours of tutorial, continuing legal education. He commit no further misconduct, comply with treatment, and have an OLAP contract, correct?
I believe that's the case, Your Honor.
Okay.
And we would also argue that even if this primary mitigation evidence was admissible by the court, that it still shouldn't be given much weight. The Linen case addressed this. Similarly, the Linen case involved also a sex addiction after the fact claim. And the court in that case declined to accept Linen's psychologist's diagnosis that sex addiction or anxiety and depression contributed to him. They
Counsel,
said,
are you arguing there's no such thing as a sex addiction?
I am, Your Honor.
Because there, that's not a DSM whatever?
DSM-5, correct, Your Honor. And in fact, Ms. Risen acknowledged that was the case as well. That... basically, it's our understanding that Mr. Sleeby had, throughout the process, relied on sex addiction, and it was sort of an 11th hour, oh my God, sex addiction isn't a diagnosable mental condition. I need to have something else in the record, which happened with Ms. Risen then submitting the third supplemental expert report, where for the first time she mentioned anxiety and depression, although solely based on the fact that Dr. Pallas, she said, had diagnosed him with that.
And Dr. Pallas had prescribed medication for this depression and anxiety.
I do not know what, again, I never had the opportunity to examine Dr. Pallas, and so
that's contained in the report that he's seeing Dr. Pallas, and Dr. Pallas, you said that he's being prescribed medication.
Right. I was not sure what he was prescribed medication for was my quibble.
Are the facts here consistent with what we've done in other cases in terms of indefinite suspension?
Honestly, Your Honor, I think that these cases are all over the board. I would argue, and we did argue in our brief, that the Sturgeon and Lockshin cases, that the board should consider that. In the Sturgeon case, the attorney was disbarred, and in the Lockshin case, the attorney received indefinite suspension.
And was their only offense sex with clients?
There was sex with clients. That was the main factor. Some of them were not truthful to the board. That's not...
Because I don't see here any allegation that he did not represent clients competently, including the clients with whom he was having sex.
Well, I think that SM would definitely disagree with that. It was a factual issue, but she maintained that Mr. Slaby did not appropriately file her bankruptcy paperwork and that she tried for months to get it
but
back
there,
from him.
There's no finding with respect to
correct,
any
Your Honor.
Of those matters. So this case is strictly about sex with clients and not any other violation.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision.